You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Tuesday, welcome to All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the one and only incredible, absolutely fucking incredible All Marine Radio. Yeah, good morning. Welcome. Welcome to my house. The house of All Marine Radio. After I, the home of post-traumatic winning, even better. Going to Colorado Springs to visit the Space Force next week. And then where am I going after that? I think I'm going to Florida. And then after that, I go to Mississippi. That's right. People saw that article. They're like, that fucking McNamara, man. He's been saying that he's going to, that number's going down. And it didn't go down. Marine Corps number did not go down by a little bit either. Went down by a lot. Just the start, man. I'm telling you. Welcome to my house. Yeah, it's exciting stuff, right? It's exciting stuff. So I'm excited. I'm fired up about it. Yeah. Yesterday went down to, got off the air, went down to San Clemente and had lunch with Napa man and F-18 man. It's kind of the midpoint. F-18 man is down south of Camp Pendleton towards San Marcos. So he came up. And Napa man lives in San Clemente. I know he's Napa man, but he lives in San Clemente. It's weird. And then I drove south to San Clemente, which one of my favorite places. Yep, in the world. So we gathered and had lunch, had a good time, always fun. And then F-18 man, he had to he had to go someplace. But we did solve a couple issues. F-18 man's in denial that an emblem he put on his truck is a little bit crooked. And Napa man sat in judgment of him yesterday. So we walk F-18 man to his truck. And so I presented my case to Napa man. I said, I want you to look at this emblem. And then F-18 man's saying, it's parked on a little bit of a slope, so you have to consider that. Napa man said, that thing's a little bit off. Yeah, exactly. So we have a team, man. He's been fighting that for over a year, maybe like 2 years since I first noticed it. I'm like, dude, your emblem's off. Your Eagle Globe and Anchor, of all things, is off a little bit. What are you, cockeyed? And he absolutely denied it. No, it's not. Blah, 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 blah. So we got that adjudicated successfully. And then one other thing. Napa Man always is assailed by Montana Man because he's got a F-150. And F-150, I mean, that's like a full-size truck, right? But he's got like normal tires on it. So the wheel well is cavernous. And so as we were at F-18 Man's truck, I noticed the same situation. But F-18 Man's problem was this. When Napa Man was getting drugged through the street over this, and he has been drugged through the street repeatedly for having little guy tires on his truck, right? I said, I don't recall F-18 Man jumping in with a vociferous defense of Napa Man. And I think because he knew he was guilty of the same criminal offense. Small tires, big truck. So we had to adjudicate that one too. Napa Man, yeah, it was a tough day for F-18 Man. He lost on both counts. And Montana Man is the adjudicator of tire size, right? He lives in Montana, even though he's from Connecticut. So, he lost on that one. So, no, we had a good time. And then, so F-18 Man leaves. And then Napa Man and I are walking through San Clemente. So we're walking across the crosswalk, across the Pacific Coast Highway, known as El Camino Real in San Clemente. So we're walking across the street, Napa Man and I. And we're just having fun, right? We're like two little kids out in the middle of the day. Except we have like credit cards and shit. But anyway, we're cruising through San Clemente. And we're walking across the street, and coming the other way is this dude in a Vietnam veteran hat. And so we're just, Napa Man and I are walking, talking, and I see the guy, and I said, what part of Vietnam were you in? And he said, I Corps. Right? And so, you know, so I immediately stop, okay? Yeah, so the sequence of events is like this, okay? The dude is coming with his wife towards us. We're walking across the street. I see the hat, and as we're walking, I say, what part of Vietnam were you in? And I stick my hand out. Because, I mean, Vietnam veterans, man, I always say thank you. And I did. I said, hey, we're both retired Marines, and I just want to thank you for what you went through, because we didn't get treated like you got treated. Right? And I said, so what part of Vietnam were you in? And he said, I Corps. Exactly. That's what happened. I'm like, what? And so I turn around, and I don't let go of his hand. So he and I are walking and talking. Napa Man's like, what is going on? I'm like, bro, the dude was in I Corps. And he was part of an army artillery battery. And they were like 175 guns. They were the big guns you see, right? Long barrel, shoot forever. Yeah, so we had a nice conversation with him and thanked him and met his wife. And then we saw him, I don't know, a half hour later, we saw him someplace else. And so we yelled at him, hey, quit following us. We're going to start making fun of you because you were in the Army. He started laughing. And Napa Man looks at me and goes, how are you even still alive rolling around towns like this? I said, come on. Everybody loves it. It's fun. So Napa Man and I were cruising through San Clemente, and we wind up at the Hobie store, which is surf store. Napa Man's a surfer, right? Cowabunga and all that shit. So we go in there, and we start. And they're just getting their day going, right? And we come in asking questions. Hey, what's going on? How you doing? Good, how are you? Good, good. What's on sale? Anything? Anything good? And so we're having a good time in there. And I bought a sweatshirt. Let me tell you about surf clothes and Hobie Rip Curl. They make great, they're legendary in, well, I would say in Southern California in particular, but for decades, they make soft clothes, which that's my criteria. Soft, good quality clothes. So if you're looking for something, Well, I would recommend to you. So I got my Hobie hoodie on right now. Yeah, that's awesome. So I had a great time yesterday, and then last night grilled a little salmon for my daughters, and started watching Hanoi Hilton videos. And this is what I didn't know. Something I found out something that made me sad last night, and legitimately, if I was to ask you, for those of you that are old enough to remember, what is the iconic moment of a POW returning, right? Now, close your eyes and think about, what do you remember of the POWs returning? I would tell you, for me, there's a picture, and you don't even see the dude, the Air Force guy, because his back's to you, right? And his family is running at him, right? And in the lead is his daughter. And she's, I don't know, 16, 17, something like that. She's got a mini skirt on. And these guys are hilarious because they say, we'd never even seen a mini skirt before, from before we were shot down. And we come back and like the whole world's wearing mini skirts. But anyway, his daughter has this just unbelievable look on her face as she's running. And she has her arms like open. Anybody who's familiar with the picture knows the picture I'm talking about. Well, I see, I'm watching these kind of YouTube videos last night, and a guy tells the rest of the story about the picture. His wife had sent him a letter, telling him that she had found somebody else, and it either had divorced him or was in the process of divorcing him, and the wife is in the picture. Right. And so it's like, oh, no. Fuck. Yeah, that picture. Right. So it's the sequence is the teenage daughter, a teenage son, another daughter, the wife, and then another son. There's like, I don't know, four kids and the mother. Yeah. And then he is in the picture. You don't even see his face. You just see him, I won't say he's running, but he's kind of moving and his arms are outstretched. And it's the signature picture of those moments. And so anyway, it was like, I read that, I listened and I was like, no, stop. Don't say that. So anyway, but I've found that stuff really interesting, as I've done a little bit more listening to audiobooks and things like that. So anyway, what are we going to do today? Today we are going to, Alex Holling's going to join us. So we'll catch up with Alex. Alex now, one of the main guys at, Sandbox, sandbox.com. So, Alex, got a new job, after the first of the year. And so we'll catch up with him. It's been a while since our schedules kind of didn't sync up a couple times. So we will talk with Alex about life today. So looking forward to that. Also, a lot of stuff in the news. The DOD auditioned its budget, and the Marine Corps is going to get smaller. Yeah, DOD going to get bigger. Marine Corps is going to get smaller. There's some interesting stuff in the headlines, too. And this is kind of interesting relative to the path the Marine Corps wants to go down. And that is this. The Navy says, we want to build fewer ships. And you know what Congress said? Not even no, but hell no. That thing is dead on arrival. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of reception the Marine Corps gets when it rolls out, right, its new dress. Right. And this is what we want the new Marine Corps to look like, to see if Congress buys it or not. So, the Navy just got told, yeah, we ain't buying that. So take that and go the hell away. Right. Because, again, it does not belong to the service chiefs. It belongs to Congress and the American people. So it's got to get through that gauntlet. And it'll be very interesting because, again, Marine Corps has not auditioned what it's going to do. It's all been kept very secret. And at some point, it will see the light of day, and it will have to endure the nation's criticism. And so, I just thought that was kind of interesting as the Navy, gets ready to audition its act, right? Congress, in one of the major first salvos, says no. Not only no, as I said, not only no, but hell no. So anyway, the United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to my friends. I can't tell you how much fun we have when we're together. There's no warmer place on the planet than being in the company of my battle buddies. And it's like that every time we get together, whether we're talking serious or whether it's we're just screwing around, walking down the streets of San Clemente or wherever the hell we are. It's always a great time. And so this is dedicated to my lunch friends yesterday, F-18 man and Napa man. Thanks for lunch, boys.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
email. Sounds like FAT man had a tough day yesterday. Are you kidding me, man? He had a great day. Got to hang out with us. Yeah. He was a little overdressed, though. He's wearing hard shoes, right? Yeah, brown, like, fancy smancy, like, fashion guy shoes. Napa man rolling around. Like he just came out of a Surf commercial. Me in jeans and a, I don't know, and a sweater. Yep. So, but he was found guilty on both counts, which is a good thing. He's been in denial of, like, well, I did not rightly notice, okay, the tire thing until I was prosecuting my case to Napa Man about the emblem being just a tad, like, canted, which it is, no doubt in my mind, okay? Look, Marines, we know cover and alignment. Cover! Right? So anyway, so as we were standing there talking that, is a Napa man has been drugged through the street. He's a small tire dude, man. Yeah, and so I look, I'm like, holy shit, man. He's guilty of this same transgression, except he did not come to Napa man's aid, right? And argue that, no, his tires look great. There's nothing wrong with those tires. Whoa, thou protest too much there, F-18 man. Are you in the same boat as he is? Come clean. Yes, I am. He didn't do that. So that means he's got to get drugged to the street. All right, time for us to check the weather. That's how it works, man. Look, I'm not making the rules up. I'm just down here playing by. Currently, cloudy and it's raining in Quantico. Raining at 52, so it's kind of warm in Quantico. And raining as we get into February. February. But if I try to say it with an R, I don't know if my mouth does that very well. I want to play a little bit of audio from Lindsey Graham today. I thought he was had a little interesting moment of analysis. a little interesting moment of analysis. Earlier in the day, talking about the way he sees the Democratic primaries going. So yeah, that I'll just tease a little bit. Right, Bernie Sanders wins this one. Biden wins in South Carolina. So you have three separate winners. And then what's going to happen on Super Tuesday when Mike Bloomberg rolls in? Yeah, when the billionaire rolls in. So anyway, so you'll hear from Lindsey Graham here in a minute. So I thought it was pretty interesting. Camp Lejeune warmed up. Cloudy and 71 right now. Marine Corps Base 29 Palms, California. Home of 3rd Light Armored Reconnaissance Company. Particularly Alpha Company, Apache Company. It is, wait a minute, I lost it. It is sunny and 49 right now. Camp Pendleton reports sun and 51. Camp Smith in Hawaii reports dark, cloudy and 64. Only two weather warnings, so some of their weather has subsided. Okinawa, dark, cloudy at 65, pretty normal. Lashkar Gah has warmed up a little bit. Cloudy in 58 early in the evening there. And then in Ramadi, Baghdad reported its first snow in I can't remember how many years. And currently, dark, cloudy in 39 in Ramadi. Yeah. 39 degrees. That would be Fahrenheit, boys and girls. All right, just so you know. At the home of All Marine Radio, where in Studio 1, yeah, of the All Marine Radio corporate headquarters, otherwise known as the back bedroom. it is. But you know what? My studio is pretty pimped out, right? I have to tell you this, man. I have some cool stuff in. I have my I Love Me stuff in here. I have some of the stuff people have given me for doing post-traumatic winning, although nothing more prized than the framed picture that Marine Wing Support Squadron 372 from Camp Pendleton, California, gave me as the guest speaker of their ball. And then, then I went down and did post-traumatic winning with them. You know what? I've got to give you a little teaching point. I saw there, I was supposed to do post-traumatic winning last Friday. And at the Marine Expo West, right? Except nobody showed up, so we didn't do it. So I stood around and shot the shit with Sergeant Major Houle, Joe Houle, with Major General Mike Regner. General Castelby came by. Yeah, he was there. So he walked by, said hi to him, and then found Sergeant Major Barrett. So, but anyway, I invited Lieutenant Colonel Beddington and Allison, who's been on the program, to look. I said, I can't give the class in 2 hours. So what I want to do is I'd like to do, you know, maybe just kind of an overview of the class, talk about the results that have happened, and then I'd like to introduce you guys and have you guys both speak for a little bit and then maybe have some time for question and answers. And Allison couldn't come because she was sick, and but she expressed her regret, so that was duly noted, which was a really important part of it. And then Colonel Beddinghoff came, and you know, his enthusiasm for post-traumatic winning motivates me. Because, and then the other thing he talked about was how eager Marines were to do the whole warrior wellness octagon and all the stuff you find out about them. And he was saying to him that's been absolutely amazing. I should probably get him on the program to talk about it. But that, you know, that they, you know, we so pigeonhole ourselves into the whole proficiency conduct thing. That there's a broader discussion to have with them, and they want to have it. They want to have it, about them and their life and all these different things. And they'll volunteer more information than you ever thought they would. So it's really interesting listening to him talk about it, to General Regner and Sergeant Major Houle. We were standing around talking about this. And so it's very interesting to hear Lieutenant Colonel Beddinghoff talk about that. I always want to call him Beddington, and the reason I want to, I had a Marine named Johnny Beddington. He was about 5'5". He was from, he was a typical, like, you know, shorter Marine. Had a fucking chip on his shoulder, man. His, my detachment Gunny Zamora, he used to call Johnny Beddington Johnny B. And then he'd say, Johnny B. Bad. And Beddington was most of the time. He's a little badass, though, man. He had a chip on his shoulder. Beddington, he authored one of the funniest lines I've ever heard a Marine say. We're getting ready to sail, and he's trying to get back aboard ship. But he doesn't have his fucking ID. He gave it to somebody else. So he goes into a bar. He's got no money, right? This is in Alangapo, right? So right off of, you know, Subic Bay. We're getting ready to sail. No, we weren't sailing the next day. We were sailing in a couple days. But anyway, so Beddington's run out of money. He's getting ready to go back to the ship and crash. So he's looking for his ID and his friend. So he comes in this bar. Now, there's this bar girl, right, which is kind of code for a prostitute. She's now sitting on the lap of this sailor who's about 6'4". And so she sees Johnny Beddington, who was there earlier in the evening. And so she hops up and she says, Johnny B, you buy me a drink. You buy me a drink. And he's like, nah, I can't. I got no money. And so she's like, you buy me a drink, Johnny B. Now, there's this racket. There's this extortion racket that goes on down there. And she's like, she's part of it. So when he says no, she grabs an ashtray off the table and she swings at him. She tries to hit him in the side of the head with the ashtray. And he blocks it, and he just shoves her. She screams and faints and falls over the table. Now, the sailor stands up, 6'4", Beddington, 5'6", right? And the guy says, like, hey, asshole, blah, 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 right? And, and Beddington looks at him and says, right now, Beddington, 5'5", this dude's 6'4". He goes, come on, motherfucker. He says, I'm not afraid of you. I've had my ass kicked by guys way bigger than you. And my Marines that were there said, sir, it was hilarious. And Beddington just like squared up with the dude and said, let's go. And the guy says, all right, man, I'm good. One of the best lines I've ever heard. I'm not afraid of you. I've had my ass kicked by guys way bigger than you. Let's go. Johnny Beddington, man. I wonder what he's doing. Yeah, he was a typical, like, rambunctious, chip on his shoulder, fuck you Marine, right? Go out on liberty, smoking a cigarette, looking for trouble. And you just see him go, and you're like, God help him, man. Wherever the hell he's headed, God help him, and God help whoever he runs into. So what happened? The extortion racket is this. The rest of the story. So she files charges against him. She knows his name. She knows what ship he's on. So the MPs call the ship. Beddington has to appear at the police station, right? Beddington has to appear at the police station. I think it was the night before he pulled out, and he's got to settle with her, right? Or if it goes to court, he's got to stay on legal hold. That's the extortion gig. That's why she swung at him with the ashtray. Okay. So Beddington and I get in our uniforms and we go out into Gomorrah. Okay. which was Subic City. It is like the den of all things. Like, it is like Vegas gone wrong. Yeah. This is like Vegas gone wrong on steroids. So anyway, so we're there in uniform. And the police station's open-air police station, right? So it's got kind of this like white brick thing going. And there's a courtyard. And the bricks come up to maybe 4 or 5 feet. And then there's a bench on the interior of the bricks. And then the street, I think it's Masaisai Street. No, that's a different story. There's one of the main drags, and like, so there's like, I don't know how many, we had 13,000 Marines and sailors in the battle group. I mean, so there's like people everywhere. Our Marines are out there getting drunk. Ah, Beddington, oh, sir, what's up? And then they're looking at Beddington going, oh, I forgot, man. So anyway, we had to stay there till midnight. She had until midnight to show up to settle with Beddington. If she didn't show up, then they dropped the charges. Yeah. And she didn't show up. So Beddington and I sat out there for 5 hours. And he kept looking at me going, sir, I'm so sorry. I'm like, Beddington, you know you're going to pay for this, right? He said, I know, sir. I know. I accept that, sir. I'm like, it doesn't matter if you're going to accept it or not, Beddington. You're going to pay for this. But Johnny Beddington. Yeah. So whenever I see Lieutenant Colonel Scott Benninghoff, I always want to call him Beddington. But anyway, but no, interesting story about post-traumatic winning, the Warrior Wellness Octagon, how willing young Marines are. Because again, I had this saying that's in the you know, post-traumatic winning presentation. A lot of these, you know, young people, they've never been taught this stuff, man. They've never been taught this stuff. And so, you know, I give a man a fish, I feed him for a day, I teach him how to fish, I feed him for life. You're teaching him how to fish. And that's the coolest part of the coolest part of the coolest part is they're starting to figure it out. Hey, I could do this. I could do this. And then they see the results and their lives get better and, you know, less stress, having more fun. You know, it's good. So I mean, that part has been really interesting when you hear guys say that kind of stuff. So anyway. All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines. Yeah, the budget is in the news. For both the Marine Corps and the Navy. We'll talk a little bit about that. Stars and Stripes. The president wants the DOD wants to defund Stars and Stripes. Now, here's a question. Stars and Stripes function was when you did not have access to news, Stars and Stripes would print papers and you would read them out in the boonies of wherever the hell you were. They'd drop a bundle of newspapers. You'd catch up on, you know, the Major League Baseball standings, the NFL, whatever. You know, you would read some stories, right? And that's what they did. Well, in the day and age of the internet, do we still need Stars and Stripes? Right? Is there a purpose for the DOD having its own newspaper? So anyway, interesting question. So, but that's like not so much of what we'll talk about. That's kind of a little footnote to the news, but it did catch my attention because Stars and Stripes have been around for an institution for a very, very long time. Oh, I almost did it again. So stand by for shithole weather. Yeah. From Massachusetts. Shithole weather is in a weather-caused stand-down. My 5 1/4 pound Maltese, Pinecki, which means peanut in Hawaii, it's a good day to crush more rest. Chris Cox is in Webster. There's a picture of him and his dog. Current conditions, rain, and shocker, more rain. Winds out of the northeast at 7, then turning to light and variable. Looking for a high of 37. It's currently 37. Looking for a high of 44. Brighter skies predicted on Wednesday. Chris from Webster out. So Chris not doing anything today. And he's not working. The dude, the next guy, time that guy goes to work, man. What the hell? Good morning from Churchbridge, Matt. Currently overcast. Winds out of the southwest at 12. Temperatures at 18 above. It feels like 5 above. For the afternoon, scattered flurries. Winds out of the west at 11. Temperature's going to get to 28. It's going to feel like 18. The forecast is for a significant drop in temperature overnight. Look at Bev sent a picture of her car. In a relatively narrow garage stall, it's a red, bright candy apple red Buick. Yeah. From Nancy. Hey there, Mac. It's 10:45 a.m. in Pleasantville. It's 33 degrees on the way to 39. Light snow, light winds out of the west at 5 to 6. Down to 23 overnight. Erie's copying us again. And kind of a dreary day, according to the picture. That is a look at weather, life, and shithole weather. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
What happened? Oh, nothing. Kicking off another music set here on a Tuesday, getting you through your work day. My stupid friends, for whatever reason, they love to yell, "And we're back!" And then they laugh, right? They laugh like that's the funniest shit in the world. And I just look at them like, are you guys... Michelle Branch, yeah, leading into this all Santana all the time set. It's a great song, by the way. And then you could hear him doing his work in the background. Lindsey Graham gonna bust into this music set here in a second. Okay, the best part's coming up. Here it comes. He goes off in his guitar. Here it is. Okay, now this is to all you, everybody out there works in a mixed-gender workplace, all right? Don't be afraid to grab your boss or coworker and just look at him and say, hey, baby, you want to dance? Nothing wrong with doing a little dancing at work. And when she looks at you like, what? You look at her like, yeah, you know I'm talking to you. I beg your pardon. Come here, girl. This is actually my favorite part. I love that song. Michelle Branch out in front of Santana here on your Tuesday morning commute, 8:46 here on the West Coast. Nothing but sunshine today. That's right. And the Dodgers just got Mookie Betts. It's all over except for the Yankees, man. The Giants got Hunter Pence. All right. Let me play Lindsey Graham. All right. Let me turn Michelle Branch off. All right. Lindsey Graham, senator type, was on Fox News this morning. And I thought this was really insightful relative to his analysis of the Democratic Party and what they're going to go through. So here's Senator Graham.
Bring in our headliner this morning, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Great to have you here this morning, Senator.
Glad to be with you. I got a free jacket.
Looking good. What do you think about this beautiful setup here?
It is like being in a postcard.
Yeah, it really
Democracy is. Democracy. And I told Pence, stop mumbling, but he just won't listen.
Oh, got it.
I think he was talking about the speaker.
Okay. I missed that.
He's got it now. So what are you seeing? What are you hearing since you've been here on the ground? I know you landed. You went straight to the rally last night.
So I've been coming here about a dozen years. This changes things for politicians. McCain beat Bush, kept his campaign alive in 2000, won in 2008, you know, after losing Iowa. President Trump won here after losing Iowa. This is a big deal. I have never been to a rally like last night. These people are so committed to this president and his agenda. And when it comes time to vote, you know, all these confused people you heard about, those folks in that arena were not confused about who they're going to vote for. And the numbers are stunning in terms of the economy.
No doubt about it. I don't know if your ears were ringing, but Sandra and I last night were at a rally for Joe Biden, and somebody who introduced him mentioned you by name and said, Lindsey Graham once said, Joe Biden is the greatest human being he ever met.
He's a wonderful man.
So what's changed for you, though, where now you think he'd be a horrible president?
Well, he's been wrong about everything. I didn't say he'd be a great president. I said he's a wonderful person. Thanks to Joe Biden, we left Iraq, and ISIS came about. He was the foreign policy advisor to the president there. He didn't want to take a shot at, bin Laden. So the bottom line is, it's not about whether I like him. I like him a lot. It's about what kind of president he would be. I think if you like the Obama years, it would actually be worse. And the bottom line here is this president, Trump, has got a lot he can say that the other side can't refute.
And now I wonder about the momentum behind him. Now that impeachment is over, he went as far as to thank Nancy Pelosi for the impeachment process because it's boosting him in the polls. Here's the president.
Our good Republicans in the United States Senate voted to reject the outrageous partisan impeachment hoax and to issue a full, complete, and absolute total acquittal. We have the highest poll numbers that we have ever had. Thank you, Nancy, very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy, says the president.
Well, there's fatigue out there among the public. Enough already. 2 years, Mueller. I trusted him to be fair. I know the president didn't. $25 million, $30 million, a bunch of FBI agents looking in everything Trump. They found nothing. The Democratic Party can't accept that result. So they impeached this man over a phone call. They impeached him in 78 days. They used due process that you couldn't get a parking ticket if they used it against you. What's this about? He suspended aid for a short period of time that the Ukraine received ahead of schedule to leverage an investigation that never occurred. And they're going to impeach the president over there. People are tired of this never-ending effort to destroy Trump. You know why they're trying to destroy his presidency? Because they can't compete with it. They don't have an agenda that's going to make the economy better.
Isn't that what Al Green, the congressman who started pushing impeachment,
100%.
He said that we can't beat him at the polls?
Every now and then, these guys are amazingly honest. They're trying to destroy him as a person, his family, drive him from office because they can't compete with the results of his presidency. That's what this is all about.
What you hear time and time again is the president touting the economy. What you hear time and time again from Democrats is this is not an economy that is working for all. So in a general election matchup, who do you see putting up the biggest fight for the president? Is it going to be a Mike Bloomberg?
Now, I played all of this to play this, okay?
Yeah. But if Bloomberg's the nominee, you lose the Bernie people. The president's in a spot where he really can't lose as this plays out. Biden's going to win South Carolina. You're going to have three different winners in the first three states. On Super Tuesday, I think Bloomberg's going to make a real dent. He's going to make a real presence. You're going to go to this convention with Biden basically collapsed. Somebody's going to fill that lane. It's not going to be Amy Klobuchar. It's going to be Bloomberg. You go into that convention, and if you can't find a nomination on the first round of voting, the Democratic Party, as we know it, is going to completely implode.
They go back to superdelegates, which the Bernie people wouldn't be happy about.
And that's really not good for the country. It's going to help President Trump get reelected. But you're seeing the demise of the Democratic Party that your grandfather and grandmother knew. And we'll see how that affects
America. Why not Amy Klobuchar?
She just doesn't have the juice. I mean, this is socialism versus liberalism. Amy's a nice person. But at the end of the day, she's not going to be able to compete with Bloomberg. He's got just too much money.
Sandra asked you about the end of the impeachment trial.
All right. I thought that was a pretty interesting little analysis of how Bloomberg slides into it. And for maybe you political types, maybe that's nothing new. You follow that. But I don't tend to follow that. How does Mike Bloomberg get in? And so it's been pretty interesting. And, you know, once again, Joe Biden, if he's nothing else, he's consistent, right? The American people don't really care for Joe Biden in elections. I mean, I guess the people of Delaware do, but nobody else seems to. And then every time you see him talking, it just seems like he steps in it. So anyway, let me go over some news headlines, all right, because there's a few interesting ones. Defense Department seeks lowest funding for the Afghan war in a decade. All right, the U.S. military is planning to spend less on the war in Afghanistan than it has at any other time in over a decade, partly because of an expected drawdown of American forces from the country, a draft Defense Department budget shows. The Defense Department asked Congress in a funding request Monday for $14 billion to support its Afghan mission during the next fiscal year. The amount requested is $3 billion less than that allocated for the current fiscal year and $100 billion less than the amount provided in 2011. So that's one. Two, Philippines notifies the United States of intent to end major security pact. The Philippines notified the United States on Tuesday and intended to end a major security pact allowing American forces to train in the country in the most serious threat areas to their treaty alliance under President Rodrigo Duterte. Foreign Secretary Teodoro Loxin said in a tweet, Manila's notice of termination of visiting forces agreement was received by the deputy chief of the mission at the U.S. Embassy in Manila. He refused to provide other details on the drastic step. In a Senate hearing last week, Loxin warned that abrogating the security accord with Washington would undermine Philippine security and foster aggression in the disputed South China Sea. U.S. military presence in the strategic waterway has been seen as a crucial counterweight to China, which claims virtually the entire sea. Loxin proposed a review of the agreement to fix contentious issues instead of abrogating it. Philippine defense and military officials did not immediately issue any reaction to the government move. Duterte threatened to terminate the security agreement after Washington reportedly canceled the U.S. visa of a loyal ally, Senator Ronaldo de la Rosa, who was linked to human rights violations when he first enforced the president's deadly anti-drug crackdown as the national police chief in 2016. So if you're not familiar with the story, thousands of mostly poor suspects have been killed under the anti-drug campaign Duterte launched when he took office in mid-2016. So anyway, so we'll see where that goes. Pentagon now reports 109 troops suffered brain injuries in the Iranian missile strike. That number climbs every week. The Pentagon said that 76 members have been returned to duty, 75 treated in Iraq. One was transported to Germany, but also returned to duty. So that leaves, what, 25 that are seeking some kind of further treatment. Another headline, DOD proposes stripping Stars and Stripes of funding in the 2021 budget. The Pentagon has proposed to cut funding for Stars and Stripes as part of its $705 billion budget request. The proposed cuts to the editorially independent news organization, which is partially funded by the Pentagon, were a product of recent defense-wide review by Mark Esper, the Secretary of Defense. Quote, we have essentially decided coming into the modern age that newspaper is probably not the best way to communicate any longer. McCusker, her first name is Elaine, she's the acting comptroller, told reporters Monday at a Pentagon briefing to discuss the DOD's budget proposal. You know what? And as sad as it may be, and as long as Stars and Stripes has been in business, that's legit. Next headline. These are all Stars and Stripes today. Day of first, Marines flexed their amphibious muscles with Japanese troops during an Okinawan beach raid. Now, we have done this off the coast of California with the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Forces for years in an exercise known as Iron Fist that just recently concluded. But the Japanese Amphibious Raid Deployment Brigade and a landing team from the 31st Marine Expeditionary Unit hit the beach Sunday to simulate battle with an enemy force. The units deployed together from the American Expeditionary Strike Group for the first time. The Marines notched another first by deploying an M142 High Mobility Artillery Rocket System, HIMARS, to the beach using a landing craft air cushion, or an LCAC, simulating a rocket launch. Yeah, that is some people's vision of Marines. They are security forces for rocketeers. Yeah. No longer locate, close with, and destroy, but maritime security forces for rocket launchers. The exercise, which began January 25th and ends on Thursday, is designed to strengthen the Allies' amphibious capabilities, especially small boat operations, officials from both militaries said. Sunday, the drill featured about 150 Marines and 60 Japanese troops, but again, always gets noticed by the Chinese. Veterans, another headline, veterans groups urged the president to intervene on the Agent Orange decision. Now, you know, everybody with the cause wants the president because they've seen him intervene in all these issues, right? From military discipline to all kinds of other things. So anyway, the Vietnam veterans have been fighting forever about the Agent Orange shit. And it's amazing. Most NATO countries say the U.S. would help them against Russia, but they wouldn't help into the United States. How about that? Majorities in 16 member states of NATO, surveyed by the Pew Research Center, said they believed the U.S. military would defend them if they were attacked. But only 5 of the countries polled, right, said that they should use force to defend a fellow ally if that ally was attacked. Those countries, United States, Netherlands, Canada, United Kingdom, and Lithuania. Quote, there is widespread reluctance to fulfill the collective defense commitment outlined in Article 5 of NATO's founding treaty. Interesting, eh? So if that's not a fundamental truth, okay, then what are we doing? From USNI, USNI News, United States Naval Institute News, Navy wants a small bump in end strength, Marines shrink slightly. The Navy is asking for a modest increase in force size in fiscal year 2021. Next year, the Navy wants authorization to grow the force by nearly 6,000 to an estimated end strength of 346,000. All right. Meanwhile, the Marine Corps is requesting an authorized end strength of 184,600 Marines, a decrease of 500 Marines from last year's request. The Marine Corps plans to shed an estimated 500 billets, mostly from headquarters staff, by not replacing Marines who rotate to other jobs or leave the force, according to Rear Admiral Randy Kreitz, the Navy's Director of Fiscal Management. So keep your eye on that. That's how you're going to get wind of the Marine Corps' plan. This is another interesting story by Megan Eckstein. Navy's new shipbuilding plan. Navy wanted to request fewer ships next year, right? According to lawmakers, that thing's dead on arrival. The proposed Navy shipbuilding plan that cuts a Virginia-class submarine, a frigate, and an oiler that were previously planned for fiscal year 2021 received immediate bipartisan pushback from the House and the Senate. So that's where the Marine Corps is going to get interesting, right? Is that General Berger can have whatever ideas he wants. If Congress doesn't sign off on it, then it ain't happening. So that'll be interesting. A few stories from Marine Corps Times. Marine Corps looking to cut more than 2,000 active duty Marines out of the 2021 budget. Now, that is contradicted by the previous story that says only an end strength difference of 500. The Marine Corps is set to cut more than 2,000 active duty Marines in fiscal 2021, according to a Navy and Marine Corps budget. The Corps would cut a total of 2,258 enlisted active duty Marines while adding 158 active duty officers, the budget request said. It would leave the Marine Corps with total active duty force of 184,000, blah, 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 blah. The total force will be within 500 Marines of 2016's end strength of 183,000. The budget request did not go into details about where the cuts will come from. It did say, however, the cuts will be in areas the Marine Corps Commandant David Berger wants to divert funds from so he can free up enough money to build a Marine Corps he says is required to fight in the future. Now, the problem with all this, and again, keep your eye on Congress, is they're not, you know, money for procurement. It's not like the Marine Corps has one checkbook and they say, yeah, we saved over here, so could you transfer it there? Congress controls all that. So it'll be interesting to watch the dance that gets done. Next headline. Pentagon calls for civilianizing military hospitals. I don't have time to go into it because Alex Hollings is going to join us here in a couple minutes. Next headline. Recruiting the smartphone contingent. Top enlisted Marine says generational differences are not new. He would be right about that. Top five stories in an early bird. One, this week in Congress, budget season begins. So budget hearings will get going. Number two, Defense Secretary Mark Esper on how the Navy can get the 355 ships. We're going to count drones. Yeah, we're going to count drones. We're going to get there. Number three, Pentagon identifies two soldiers killed in the Afghanistan attack. The president left New Hampshire last night to fly back to Dover for the transfer of remains as they were received back on American soil. Number four, Navy identifies a dead midshipman who collapsed during a physical readiness test. Number five, Army officer who testified against Trump out early from the NSC. Everybody's acting like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know what? When you want to play political games and it goes against you, then, I mean, come on. What are we, like Pollyanna? We don't think there's going to be any blowback to that. Oh, no, he was just doing his duty. Everybody's going to be good with that, right? You think politicians are going to be good with that? Yeah, I want to live on the planet that you live on. Two Special Forces soldiers were killed, six wounded, during an apparent insider attack in Afghanistan. I'm just looking to see if this updates the number of Afghan soldiers that were killed, right? We talked with Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny yesterday about the attack in Nangarhar province. Afghan Defense Ministry said one Afghan soldier was also killed and three injured in the assault, which contradicts an earlier report that said up to eight Afghans were killed. The so nothing earth-shaking new to report there. Two more headlines. Waiting your military tenant bill of rights. Here's where you stand. And then the last one I would recommend to you is the Pentagon's $705 billion budget boosts nuclear weapons funding. So interesting stuff going on. Where's your tenant bill of rights? Defense Department and military department leaders are still working on the tenant bill of rights and other initiatives that were included in the Defense Authorization Act signed into law in December, according to DOD spokesman Chuck Pritchard. None of the details of their work are ready for release. Nearly 2 months after the bill was signed into law, quote, we have yet to hear a word on when we will see a final tenant bill of rights, said Aaron Wagnon, director of government relations for the Military Officers Association of America. Quote, for all of the momentum on this important issue generated by Congress, it's frustrating to know the process is lacking timeliness and transparency. So we've seen this over and over again about how the DOD just, you know, sucks at this part of life. So anyway, all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Alex Hollings will join us here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. So don't touch that dial.